Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Praising the Divine Mother Sai, her glory and her effulgence. And offering myself at her lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday, September the 11th, 2014. Today, being 9/11, a day the world will never forget due to the horrific tragedy of the Twin Towers in New York, let us take a moment to pray for those who lost their loved ones and salute the heroes of 9/11. It is 9:40 a.m. here in Prashanti Nilayam, India, and the current temperature is 25 degrees Celsius. We are experiencing overnight lows of 23 degrees at night and daytime highs of 32 Celsius. Right now, it's bright and sunny outside the studios, and there's a slight touch of humidity in the air. As we wind down the Kerala week here in the ashram, we are getting ready for Grama Seva, a Sai Sanidhi day, and much more before the Navratri festival begins. Through all the joy that we celebrate here, we aim to catch up with the real-life stories of men and women whose lives have been touched and transformed by the love of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So today on Morning Glory, the long overdue final part of Mr. Vijay Sai's Fleeting Moments interview will be aired. We realize how well this has been received, and we want to assure you that we will play part 7 or the conclusion of this conversation in the latter half of this show. But first, right here, right now, a brand new Tris with Divinity interview with Dr. Anand Mohan of Kerala. Dr. Anand Mohan of Kerala is the person who is dedicated to the Sai Rehabilitation Program for patients from Kerala who have been treated at the Sai Super Specialty Hospitals, whether at Prashantigram or Whitefield. And in today's interview, he is in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti. Please enjoy.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations in Radio Sai with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan. And today in the studios we have Dr. Anand Mohan from Kerala. Dr. Anand Mohan is someone who is an inspiration for many in the state of Kerala, because he is someone who has been heading the medical wing of Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations Kerala. This is called Sai Med, which is the unit, the arm of the Satya Sai organization of Kerala, which looks into all the healthcare initiatives of the organization. And he is someone who has been coordinating all these initiatives in this last so many years. In fact, he is the state coordinator of the Sai Rehabilitation Program, which is called the Sai Rehab Program, and which is again another fantastic initiative of the Satya Sai organization of Kerala, in partnership with the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences of both the hospitals, wherein they go to the houses of the patients who are treated in Baba's hospitals in Puttaparthi and Whitefield and look after their well-being after they have left the gates of the hospital here in Puttaparthi and Whitefield. So this is a wonderful program where the patient is not made to feel that he's forgotten or everything is done with him. It keeps the connection on, and this is a program which has helped the patient so much, which has helped the hospital so much, and it has helped the entire SAI organization and the society to spread this positive values of love, caring, and taking Bhagwan's message of free healthcare and compassionate healthcare to a completely different dimension. So he's been heading this program since September 2009. Professionally, he completed his graduation, his MBBS in Belgaum in 1972, and then in 1980 he did his master's in medicine, his MD in gynecology in Jipmer, Pondicherry, that is the Jawaharlal Nehru Institute of Postgraduate Medical Education and Research. After that, he worked in this institution for some time, and then also in another hospital in Calicut. And then since 1983, he's been working in Asian Reproductive Medicine Center in Shoranur, that is a town in the Palakkad district of Kerala. While this is what has been going on in his professional life, as I mentioned, his activities in the SAI organization have only multiplied over the years. In fact, in the last 3 years, apart from looking after the SAI rehabilitation program which I just mentioned, he is also the founder director of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Primary Healthcare. This is again a project of the Sri Satya Sai Trust Kerala, and which goes out to help the poor in accessing primary health care in Palakkad district as well as the entire that area. And we will know more about this as we begin talking to him. And in fact, even as he finished his MBBS in 1972, it was that time when he actually came into Bhagwan's fold. So his association with Swami is almost more than 30 years. In 1973, he had his first darshan, and then in 1976, he became a sevadal, and then in 1980, he became the state coordinator for health education for the state of Kerala, and they had this door-to-door program of creating health awareness, and he was the one, again, who was spearheading this project. And in the 1980s, he later became the EHV resource person, that is the education and human values resource person. He was a Balvikas Guru's trainer. He was also Sri Satya Sai parenting resource person, and so on. So he had really a plethora of responsibilities in the organization, and all of them, most of them, on the medical wing associated with the healthcare initiatives of the Satya Sai organization of Kerala. And he is here now in Prashanthi Nilayam because there is a huge team from Kerala, about 60 of them, who are journalists and reporters who are coming to Puttaparthi for the first time. So you have this fresh lot of devotees who are here to know more about Swami. There are also 30 advocates and 10 doctors. All of them have come just to feel the vibes of Puttaparthi, to know more about Bhagwan, his life and his mission. So I just happened to see him last night because we had this session where all these journalists and these advocates and doctors were being addressed to by Professor Venkatraman. And when I saw him, I just requested him that he should come to the studios because I know he's someone who is virtually the pillar of the SAI rehabilitation program and looking after all the medical initiatives of the Satya Sai organizations Kerala. And he's been such an inspiration, and there is definitely so much to learn from his life and his work as a SAI worker, as an inspired instrument in Bhagwan's hand. So with really gratitude, I place my deep sense of gratitude to Bhagwan for having allowed this to happen. And with a lot of love, I welcome you, sir, to the studios of Radio SAI.
Sai Ram and Pranams.
So tell us how it has been, this trip to Puttaparthi. You have these so many people who are coming for the first time. Many of them are journalists and reporters, and they are perhaps seeing all these institutions in Prashanthi Nilayam, which they have never seen before. So what has been their response?
Their response was very good, immense. In fact, most of them did not expect such a the glory of this place. I should say the vastness or the depth of the entire process. Everybody knew that Satya Sai Baba is there, previously known as a miracle man.
Okay.
Later, Kerala knows him as the founder of a free hospital.
Okay.
That's all about it. Everybody knows that he runs a free hospital.
Okay.
Kerala perhaps has a very large number of patients getting the benefit of this these two hospitals. So, in the yesteryears, Kerala press was generally much used to project most of negative aspects like miracles. See, debunking the miracles and all sorts of things.
Okay.
Surprisingly, after he left his physical body, the immediate response of the press was tremendous. They glorified him, his activities, even his avatarhood. Every one of them.
Okay.
It was mostly unexpected. We didn't expect that
the
much.
The organization didn't do anything.
Organization did not do anything
towards this.
Not that it did not do anything. They didn't have to do anything.
Okay.
So it was spontaneous. All the papers for many days wrote about him and features and articles, and it was actually a paradox that time.
So suddenly it seemed like the media in Kerala recognized the good that Bhagwan had done in terms of just coming to the rescue of the people who need help.
That's right. So people knew that there were two hospitals. There were many beneficiaries. They all knew that they were getting free treatment. Okay, that's fine. But they did not know what grandeur is there in these hospitals.
Yes.
Right from its architecture.
Right.
To the attitude of the persons, the most important thing is the least available commodity of these days, that's love.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, we desired that the media should know what is happening here.
Yes.
So, we invited, we didn't expect so many people to come. Even the main organ of the Communist Party of India, in Malayalam it's called Deshabhimani paper, their reporters have come.
Wow.
So we wanted them to see that what he has done and what he is doing and what he expects us to do.
Correct. So they can experience it firsthand.
Firsthand, that's right.
Okay. So it's really wonderful. I think anyone who visits Prashant Nilayam is never the same again.
That's right.
And definitely... you don't have to again tell them anything more.
That's right.
And once they come and see for themselves, I think as Bhagwan used to always say, you know, you come and experience.
That's right.
Come and experience. I think there is no better way to know more about Bhagwan and experience his love and presence. So it's really wonderful. It's a great initiative of the organization. And in fact, last night when I was there, it was a very heartening feeling. There are so many people who have come, and they are all so sincerely eager to know about Bhagwan and his mission. So what is it that drew you to Swami? Because you are someone who is so deeply involved in the Satya Sai organization's activities. I don't know how much time you give to your professional life, because so much of your time and energy goes into Sai work.
That's the biggest miracle in my life. How I get time. I don't know. He gives me the time.
Yes.
See, what happened was that my father was a very great Gandhian.
Wow.
Who was a contemporary of Gandhi. He worked with Gandhi.
Oh, he worked with Gandhi?
He was with the freedom movement.
Okay.
And in my childhood, I was brought up in the Gandhian way.
Okay.
When I joined college, the whole thing went topsy-turvy. I got into bad habits, bad company. Was leading a life which by the time my father was no more.
Okay.
I started living a life which my father would have never approved of. And my mother was also a freedom fighter.
Okay.
And I started living a life which she could never come to terms with. That is the time, of course, I was from my very young age, I was taught the scriptures and everything by my father. That is the time when I was working as a lecturer in the medical college that I fell ill. And nobody could diagnose. I suffered a lot. I suffered quite a lot.
This is during your graduation day?
After. Immediately after that, immediately after MBBS, I worked for 1 year in a medical college.
Okay.
That is the time I heard of Swami. So, before that, before joining medical college itself, I had read everything, Gita, everything. My father had taught me everything. So, I was rather sort of skeptical about all the miracle makers.
Mm.
Because Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said that miracles will, you know, that story, right. Sort of a,
yeah.
Lot of people say that, you know,
you should be little careful about people who perform miracles.
That's right. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said that Siddhas should not perform miracles, you know, all that stuff.
Yes.
But finally, we were so helpless that on my way back home, I landed in Whitefield.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few people there, 1970.
So you had come with some of your family members?
Wife and myself, both.
Okay.
So went there and then...
So basically, as you are saying, like your health was such a critical condition.
It was in a bad condition.
Okay.
The main problem was that nobody, even though I was a staff in a medical college, I was not diagnosed.
No one could diagnose.
No one could diagnose what was problem with me.
And you were just going downtown.
Yeah. So, I was sitting there in the darshan line. There was a scientist next to me. And, you know, young age, arrogance. Then I asked him who he was. He said he was a postdoctoral fellow. He has a PhD, two PhDs. And I asked him, what are you doing here? He said, I have come here for Swami's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know the arrogance. I said that his education is only 8th standard. And what is he going to...
You have done 2 PhDs.
Yeah.
And he's done 7th class, 8th class.
That's right.
Why
and
you come
he
here
gave a rude look at me and said, look, all my PhDs, he was my guide. About Swami, he said.
Swami was his guide.
Yeah. So I just kept quiet. I had no answer. And he was an elderly person. So I saw people writing and giving something. So I asked him, what are they doing? And he said, if you have any problem, you can write it and give it to him. So I asked him, what can he do? Then he said, you give it and see. So I borrowed a piece of paper from him and wrote in the paper, I am not well.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami came and took it from me.
Okay.
When I reached back home after 3 days, I found that I was completely all right. There was no problem.
Oh my God.
I again went back to the medical college. They examined me. And they diagnosed that I was having some sort of psychological problem where I was imagining that I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was completely cured. I had no problem.
So till this day you don't know what was the problem?
I don't know.
It got cured?
I don't know. I know how it got cured. I know that he cured me. That's all. Because he wanted me to work for him.
Yes.
That's all. Because actually that is a turning point in my life.
There is nothing, no communication with Swami?
Nothing other. Then I came to Puttavarthi. That is the time when A.T. Kovur, the rationalist leader, was... actually, Kerala knew about Swami through the rationalist leader A.T. Kovur.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Beyond Godman, he wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
And there he criticized Swami left and right, and he said, I can challenge. So, whole of Kerala knew about one Satya Sai Baba through the rationalist who was opposing him. And most of the people who came here following A.T. Kovur became devotees.
Oh, this happened in the 70s and 80s?
Somewhere in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is the time when this Kovur was writing all these things. I sat in the darshan line and I saw Swami creating Vibhuti, giving it to people. Even though I had this experience, I was still... This thing was there in my mind.
Yes.
So, about the book, Vibhuti...
About the writings.
Vibhutis.
Yeah.
Coming, so, yeah, writing.
Yeah. You are trying to reconcile both.
Yeah. So he came and stood in front of me, lifted his sleeves up to his above the elbow, created Vibhuti. I could see the Vibhuti manifesting in his hand, and he did not give it to me.
Okay.
Okay. Then next day again sat in the darshan line. I was seeing, saw a lot of things happening there. Not like these days. The miracles galore those days.
I know.
Then I said... Something is happening, thought. I said, I want an answer from you to my question, yes or no. That's all. I thought in my mind. The thing is that I was well. Previously I was not well. So I just wanted to know whether I have been cured or not.
Okay,
so I thought in my mind, am I okay now? Have I been cured?
This is all in the first trip.
Second trip.
This is the second trip.
Second
so first trip you went home and you were cured. And
yeah.
Second trip
you
are
trip I came. Still
trying to confirm your
faith. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Then he just slowly walked past me. He didn't look at me. He said yes.
Oh my God, he didn't look at you?
No,
he just said yes.
He just in front of me, he said yes and walked past.
So almost like he's responding to the inner communication within.
Then I didn't know who he is. I heard that he is a big yogi or somebody. Then I went back to the college. That time there were many Telugu students there. Their families were devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to find out, and then one person had Satyam Sivasundaram with them.
Okay.
I started reading that book. Then I found out a place where one family was conducting bhajans. End of 1973, early 74. I went there. 74 Shivaratri, I came here. It was a big crowd for those days because Prashant Nilayam was very small. I didn't have a place to even keep my box. So I went to Justice Aradi's room. He is a cousin of my wife.
Okay.
I told him, I just want to keep my box here. He said, there's no place here to sleep. I said, I'll sleep in the veranda somewhere. Let me keep the box. I think you can do that. Then somebody told me that if I go to the medical side, if I do free seva, I'll get a seat in the front row.
Okay.
Okay, Shivaratri, Lingodhavam was there.
Yes.
So I went there. When I was about to reach there, suddenly I thought in my mind, I am thinking of seva not for the sake of seva. I'm thinking of seva for getting a seat in the front row. This is not right. So I came back.
Okay. That's interesting.
This is not right. Dr. C.G. Patel was in charge of the medical. So when I came back, Justice Aradi called me and called Mr. Natarajan, then state Sevadal convener, and introduced me to him. By that time, I had read Howard Murphy's book. Then suddenly I asked him, are you the same Natarajan about whom Murphy has written? He said, yes, I am the same person. So Justice Aradi said, Natarajan, take him for medical seva and hand him over to C.G. Patel.
You had just decided you will not join.
Yeah.
And Swami was doing his
work. And suddenly I found out that C.G. Patel's son was my student.
Okay.
So I joined it. So from that time onwards, for many years, for every birthday, I have been coming for seva, medical seva.
For every birthday?
Yeah, mostly, except 3 years in between. Every birthday I used to come. Then I started reading, and then usually, you know, it was a blind worship. Just a blind worship. So once I got into a very severe financial crisis, then my wife asked me, who's going to give you money? Suddenly I said, Swami will give. It was a postal holiday, a Sunday, and suddenly I found the door ringing, and below that there was a cover with a check for the exact amount I needed. And I couldn't find out who had sent me the check.
Oh, till this day you don't know?
I don't know.
Oh my God. So this happened sometime in the 80s?
That time itself. It was just like, you know, just worship, just blind faith and worship.
Yes.
So then I came to, did my post-graduation, came to Calicut. My post-graduation also was thing. Immediately after my MBBS, I went to a village where there was no electricity and no transport. Worked there for 1 year among all the poor people.
You always had that streak of
That is what they
service.
Gave from my father. He did all that.
Oh, he being a Gandhian.
He used to walk miles together to treat people and then.
Okay.
So I worked there for a year. Absolute poverty there. Then suddenly I thought I should do post-graduation. I went to Jipmer, and the thing is that I was from a village practitioner. My academics were poor. So I told Swami, if you want me to be a postgraduate, take me a postgraduate. So I went to sleep. I wrote the exam, I stood first in the exam.
You stood first in the exam? Wow.
Then I came to Calicut. That is the time when Swami announced two programs. One was study circle, and the other was health education door to door. So some 10-15 of us came from Kerala to Bombay, Andheri, Bhavan School.
Yes.
Swami used to stay with us there.
Who used to stay with you there?
So two people were together in a room, One was myself and the other was the present Kerala state president Mukundan.
Okay, interesting. How so many so, you and him together so right from that time?
15 days we stayed together in Nauru. That is first entry into the officially organization. Before that in 1972, when I joined for MD, I was Seva. Those days Seva, they becoming Seva, Sevada was very difficult. I had to write an exam of 3 hours.
To become a Seva?
Written exam. Sri Achyudanandanji was the Tamil Nadu state president. I wrote the exam. Some of us wrote the exam. And the paper was valued in Dharmakshetra. And whoever passed the 3 year exam was given a 1 year apprenticeship. And at the end of which they were given a scarf.
Oh my God. I never thought there is such an entrance for becoming a Seva.
That is, you know, I had to go through that. My batch of people who were there in Jipmer Pondicherry at that time, we had to go through that to become a Seva. Tamil Nadu, just before General Mahadevan became the state president, Achyudanandji was the state president. That time we had to go through this. I don't know if it was there before or after that. Apart from that, my entry into the organization was this. Myself and present state president Mukundan, we stayed in a room together. And then Swami used to be with us. Swami, during our dinner, Swami used to come and inquire about our health. So when I came back, the organization said you should have a state coordinator for both these. I became the state coordinator for health education door to door, and Mukundan became the state coordinator for study circles.
Okay.
That's how I got in the organization. But as my growth in the organization came, my approach to Swami also changed.
Mm-hmm.
As I started learning more and more about, I realized that when you read the Gita, there's such a lot about Karma Yoga. But you are confused as to what is Karma Yoga. It's easy to say that you do Karma Sannyasam and Karma Phalatyagam.
Yes, I mean you don't desire for the fruits of action.
Fruits of action. And don't have the doership.
Yes.
This I started experiencing when I started working in Sai organization.
Okay.
Before that was only theory. You read the Gita, that's only a theory. They are a theoretical concept.
Yes.
Or a very noble, divine concept of life. But when I entered the organization and started doing this work, it's so simple. It started with, do things for Swami. And don't think that you are doing it because he is doing it. It became very simple. You don't have to write treatises about Karma Yoga, or you don't have to write volumes about it. It's so simple in his fold. Just do it for him and forget about it and think that he is doing it.
Yes.
If it fails, think that he doesn't want it to happen. Life became so simple.
Wow.
You don't have any regrets when you do Swami's work. If it fails, in spite of putting your best efforts, if it fails, it is his will. Why bother about it?
Yes.
If it succeeds, it's also his will. He has done it.
Yes.
Don't take the credit.
Don't attach yourself to
That's
it
right.
at all.
That's all. So the whole of Karma Yoga became very simple when I joined the organization. And then slowly see these things, you know. I don't know how it was. The involvement became more and more. See, Mukundan and I used to travel whole of Kerala for months together. Friday evening means you leave your place and go somewhere. Come back Monday morning and do your work. Saturday, Sunday is full of Swami's work only, traveling all over Kerala. Both of us used to do that. So the involvement became, recently in one of the TV interviews, somebody asked me, is Satya Sai Baba God? I said, I am not bothered. You ask me whether he is my very breath. Somebody asked me, you're doing so much of work. Why do you want that label of Satya Sai with you? You can do with any other label. You can do your name and do the work. I said, without that label, I don't exist. Just now, you know, Kasturi Ji and Swami said, your very existence is my miracle.
Yes.
Okay. I said that label is my very existence. Without that, whatever I am doing, even professionally, I am very busy. So that's also his will. If he wills that I should not be successful professionally, I'll have to close shop and leave. So growth and EHV was a turning point. First batch, Kamal Sahani and those people came to Trivandrum, conducted the class, learned EHV, then slowly started knowing about life. So, thing is, initially you used to feel very sad when you leave Prashantanilayam because you are leaving Swami. She is very sad. My wife used to cry when she used to go back from Prashantanilayam, even though she is not an active worker or anything. I also used to feel very sad. Then one of the Communist Party members, whom I brought here, he finally landed up translating Chibber's book into Malayalam.
Book on leadership.
He gave a speech when he said that you say homesick when you are away from home and you think about home. Our homesickness, when you feel Prashantanilayam, go to your own house, you feel homesick. Okay. Yes. You come from your home, spend some time with Prashantanilayam and you go back, you feel homesick.
You feel homesick because this is your home.
Okay. So, initially that was there. Then gradually working in the organization, then that attachment also gone. That attachment is also gone. Wherever you are working, he is there. Wherever, whatever you are doing, he is there.
That sort of conviction slowly came in.
Yes, that came in. Then another lesson which I learned from life was that when I was professionally, I was running a hospital, a private hospital. I had lots of problems and I used to ask him, Swami, do this for me.
Your inner dialogue.
Inner dialogue. Pujarun, you sit and say, Swami, this is the problem. Please do this for me. And he'll do it for me. Then I find that I get into more trouble. Because that is not actually, that was not what I should have done. Whatever you ask for, he gives.
Yes.
But then you get into trouble because...
You decide to do what?
I have decided.
Yes.
So the lesson I learned was that, don't ask him for anything.
Yes.
Leave it to his will. Simple, very simple. It life became more simple. Why should I worry? Okay.
No, all the time you just say, let your will be done.
This is the problem. Now it's left to you to solve it. How you solve it, I don't know. I have to accept whatever. The moment I accepted that philosophy, life became more simple. Whatever is there, why should I worry?
So there is nothing like a challenge in your life now.
Challenges are there. Everything is a challenge. See, starting this institution. I didn't have anything. Actually, the local Marxist Party municipal chairman asked me once. See, I have been running a free medical center, free clinic for the last 18-20 years. Satya Sai Free Medical Center.
In Palakkad.
In Shornur, where I live. The day I landed there, I started that.
Okay. So this is apart from the activities in the Satya Sai organization?
Yes. So I was doing that. So then the local municipal chairman, they got surprised. They said that, what they told me was that, all the political people said, it is impossible to do something which does not benefit you materially. That is their philosophy. That's a philosophy everywhere in the world, except perhaps in Prashantanilayam.
Yes, you always ask, what's in it for me?
What's in it for me? Said, what is in it for you? I said, nothing. What is in it for you? What motivates you? What might you, Satya Sai Baba, motivates me? What is in it that you get? His grace. But that grace is not going to give you a square meal. I said, I am not bothered. Because he said, society has made you, you pay back to society, at least something, a part of it. And I have to obey his command because he is the turning point in my life. Otherwise I would have been ruined totally, completely, physically, mentally, character-wise, everything. And he brought me back, hooked me, just hooked me into it and said, look, this is not the way to live. Change your lifestyle. And then he changed me and put me into this path. So I have to pay back to him. I have to pay back to him. I have to pay the debts to him. This is all I can do. So they said, we cannot understand why a person should do things free without getting any benefit. So finally, one municipal chairman, Marxist Party leader, he asked me, if we give you land, will Swami start a hospital? I said, yes. How I did yes? Why I said yes? I don't know. So finally, the whole thing came. Nothing happened. This dream was there. I expressed the dream to somebody. Then somebody came in, one Mr. Gopinath from my neighbor. He came forward and said, look, for Swami's sake, I'll surrender 1.5 acres of land at Swami's feet. Today that costs about 5 crores. So he gave the land and there's no money. It was a challenge. It was a dream. Should have a primary health center. Started building it. Somebody gave 10,000 rupees. We did the foundation.
Oh my God. So this happened like 5-6 years ago.
8 years now. Totally built it up. Then I went after the state convener. Then I approached the All India president. He was very helpful. He told the Kerala State Trust to take it over. I did it. And 8 years, this is worth about, the building itself is worth about 25 lakhs.
Sri Satyasai Institute of Primary Healthcare.
Then somebody came forward and said, suddenly one day, one fine morning, one doctor calls and says, I have an ophthalmology unit, I am going to donate it to it is for Swami. 22 lakhs worth of equipment he donated.
Wow.
Now we are building an operation theatre where we are going to do free eye surgeries.
Fantastic.
So every step is a challenge. But then Swami said, life is a challenge, meet it.
Yes.
See, whatever he says, there is a message for us.
Absolutely. And so everything is a challenge, but you don't lose sleep over it.
Nothing. That is exactly what Mr. Chakravarti asked me the first day when I presented this project to him. He asked me, do you get good sleep? I said, yes. Why do you want to spoil the sleep? it is just like, you know, Dr. Safaya's that story about the super speciality hospital that he was crying 1 week before. Same like that. It is his duty. I am only the instrument. If he wills it, it will come.
Yes.
But only thing is, I have to wait for the time when he has to decide it.
Yes. And be ready all the time.
Be ready, that's all. So every step in this was a miracle. It started, and one day one person said, I'm going to stop. Architect gave free service. Architect totally gave free service. He said, Doctor, I'm going to stop the work. Unless you give me 1 lakh, the work will not proceed. I asked the person, how much is there in the bank? He said, 350 rupees.
Oh my God.
Okay, stop the work. When Swami will sit, 3 days later I get a phone call from Hyderabad. Somebody said, I write about this thing in your Madhurbhumi Malayalam paper. I am sending a check. You just let me know whether you got the check. It's a small amount. Then 3 days later I get a check by courier. It was 1 lakh.
Amazing.
So 3 days later, work was going on. One day the work stopped. The person called me and said, Sir, 4 workers are working, 2,000 rupees we have to give, wages, at 5 o'clock. I said, how much money you have got? I have 100 rupees. I said, wait, let us see. At 4:45, somebody comes and says, hey, there is something going on here, I'll give 500 rupees. Each step was going on like this. So I decided, why should I bother? Every step was like this. I need 1 lakh, I'll get 1 lakh. Not 1 pi more. I need 1.25 lakhs. I'll get 2.5 lakhs, not 1.25 lakhs, not a single pie more.
I think every act you had Swami's signature.
Yes.
You could see Swami's hand.
That's right.
Completely.
Everything. Everything. Thing is, every step. Only thing is that he will see to it that there is no balance amount in the bank. But he will see to it that the project runs. So everybody started saying, look, you need 5 lakhs more. How are you going to get it? I said, why should I bother? It is his responsibility to get it for me. And I know he'll get it. Otherwise, this project would not have started.
If he didn't will, it wouldn't have started.
It wouldn't have started. So it is my conviction that it will come. That's all. It so happened that I should have gone to Algeria rather than coming to Shornur. It was his will that I should be in Shornur. It was his will that I should start working on this. So, let it go.
Amazing. I think life becomes actually a celebration once you're all the time leaving everything to him completely.
That's right.
You depend only on him and no one else.
That's right. That's right. The architect is not a devotee. He says, I am doing everything for Dr. Anmohan because he happened to be my patient. But initially he used to say that, sir, you are not planning anything. You don't have a single pay and you are planning for a structure for 10 lakhs. I said, in Sai's work, I can't plan anything. He plans, and that happens. You will see this over the years, how it's happening. And over the years, the architect has been seeing this. Now he doesn't ask me this question. He'll only tell me, sir, next 15 days, I want 1 lakh. See, he showed us the way that if you do things which is not for your own sake, things will happen. So we have seen elsewhere, so I'm experiencing it. I'm experiencing it because long before I saw physically Swami, I had a dream. That was my first association with Swami was the dream.
Mm-hmm.
I have never understood that dream. The dream was that, this is somewhere in 1973, the dream was that it's a long hospital corridor, there is a wheelchair, and the person sitting in that wheelchair is Swami. And I am pushing that wheelchair.
You saw this in 73?
Yes. That is my first. I had not seen Swami before. I had seen only his picture. And then suddenly he turned back and looked at me and said, do this for 100 years.
Oh my God.
I didn't understand the meaning of that.
You were pushing Swami's chair.
Wheelchair.
And he looked at you and said, do this for 100 years.
100 years. I didn't understand. I didn't understand at all what was meant.
And you had not even physically seen
him?
No,
I had not seen him. I had seen his pictures.
My God.
So now I think that I have to go on doing this. The rest you will do.
It's almost like everyone who's coming to your hospital now is Swami. And you're serving him and you have to continue.
That's right. That's what I try to tell the people around who are working with me. That this is not a hospital, this is a temple. Every person coming here should feel that this is a temple and not a hospital. Many of the doctors who came there to serve, they are not devotees. One of the Muslim doctors, he told me, much younger to me, he's as old as my son. He said, sir, when I sit here, I feel that the most precious moments of my life, the 2 hours that I spend here. Young MD, gentleman in postgraduate, he had nothing to do. I just told him, look, why don't you come and sit here? Sir, I'll do it. He said it just because he liked me. That's the only reason. When he sat there, he said, it's amazing.
Now he's my life.
Yes. And now what happened was that he left that place and he went for a post-graduation somewhere. And there where the hospital where he went, all the doctors go to the nearest eye center to do free seva. So he called me and said, sir, I am getting an opportunity to serve Swami here also.
Wow.
So, thing is that I can't explain, I don't understand also. I have stopped trying to analyze also. Whatever he feels it like.
And so all the doctors who are serving here are voluntary?
All are voluntary.
And how many doctors do you have now?
No, more than 12. Our counseling center, we have 5 qualified counselors.
Okay.
2 of them are absolute outright atheists and rationalists.
Oh, and they're serving here.
Yeah, serving here. They're serving with full heart, they're serving. And nobody is the so-called conventionally within inverted commas a Sai devotee. But they do a very good job.
And they're happy.
Yeah, very happy. They're very happy when they come there. So that is how my life has evolved into.
So now the society around is taking notice of this?
Yes, certainly. Society is taking care of. That's what I said, you know. Strange things come to your life. One day I was traveling in a place at a very predominantly Muslim area. I got down there from a one bus and there was a hilly area. I was going and in our place there are the single owner buses.
Single
owner means a small bus where the owner will be the conductor.
Okay.
And will be a driver.
Yes.
Then I got into one bus and I was going. Then suddenly, it's a white dress usually. When you go for a Sai function, it's all white dress.
Yes.
The conductor came and looked at me and said, are you a Sai man? This is what he asked. In Malayalam.
Yes.
I said, yes. He said, no, he didn't take money from me.
Okay.
He didn't take money from me. It's a village. It's a village in area where there is no, in Kerala, where they had no chance of knowing Swami at all, but the local Sai organization was doing such good work.
They had so much respect for Swami.
Respect, yeah. They said, are you a Sai man? I said, yes, okay, then. Don't pay, we'll take you free. And one day, these are the things happening to your life when you dedicate everything to Swami. I was sitting in my consultation room, one lady came. And he said, I have come to see you. She didn't have an appointment. I just came to see you, that's all, because my husband is getting operated. I said, I'm a gynecologist. Which surgery? She said, ear surgery. I said, I have nothing to do with ear surgery, so I'm a gynecologist. No, sir, I didn't come for anything. My husband is being wheeled into the theater. Somebody told me that you are a devotee of Baba. So I came to see you. See, this is what Swami makes you. This is what Swami makes you. He just said, somebody from here told me that you are a devotee of Baba. So before my husband is taken to theater, I just wanted to see you. That's all. I have come only for that. See, so many things like that happen when you are outside. That brand is there. How is he able to do that? Once the Lions Club conducted a big eye camp. Those days, you know, 10 days Modi type of camp. 1 week later, some people from here, they asked me, why can't you do it? We'll all help you. I said, look, Lions Club is a big organization. They have plenty of money. So they said, no, we'll do it. We conducted a camp similar to Lions Club camp without collecting a single pie. It was a grand success. Then people asked me, how could you do it? I said, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It was Baba who did it. The people don't understand when you say Swami. They understand when you say Baba. 2 years, one or two years later, people started saying that, he is a Sai Baba man, so he can do anything. So people have recognized that the force behind.
Yes.
People have recognized.
He's never alone. There is a huge force within him.
That's right.
That force can do anything.
That's right. That's what I said. You see, in Rama Avatar, he turned heroes out of monkeys. In Sai Avatar, he is also turning heroes out of monkeys like me. We are being made to, very ordinary people like me are made to do extraordinary things, which he is doing.
Yes.
And Rama Avatar is just only single purpose. But here the purpose is many.
Yes.
Rama Avatar, it was just going to Lanka and killing Ravana and establish Dharma.
Yes.
That is one purpose. He created a lot of heroes out of monkeys. So here for every aspect of human life he is touching, and he is turning hundreds of monkeys like me, thousands, lakhs of monkeys like me, to do extraordinary things. I don't understand how this comes to being. With my capabilities, I can never imagine that such an institution will come up.
Wow.
And I have stopped calling these miracles, I have stopped calling these wonders. Because I say that he is doing it, so it is his nature, his very nature.
Yes.
When I first came here, you know, those days, that Kulwan Hall was not there. It was only sand.
Yes.
A lot of trees.
Yes. Coconut trees.
So many trees were there. And when Swami goes off, Kasturi ji used to come and sit.
Yes.
Then we all will gather together. And you know, I was young and arrogant and that was, I asked one day, Kasturi ji was sitting there, I asked him one day, why does he perform miracles?
Okay.
The same tone I asked, why does he perform miracles? Kasturiji, you know, his smile. He had a special smile.
Yes.
He gave a smile and said, he does not perform miracles. He is miraculous.
Wow. He is miraculous.
He is miraculous. That is a lesson which I...
Wow.
It struck me like that. And over and again, when you wonder how this is happening.
Yes.
Oh, it's a miracle. I said, no, it's not a miracle.
It is just like how it is very natural for us to do certain things.
Certain things. That's all.
Yes.
So people ask me
like
about...
For example, as Bhagwan once also mentioned, like, this is also something which I share with many people. Like, someone, suddenly you feel very happy and with someone and you want to give something. So if there is in your pocket some chocolate, you just give it. Now, Bhagwan, instead of putting stuff in his pocket, he just waves his hand and gives
it. That's right. That's exactly that is. So, all the so-called things that are happening as wonders and miracles... I have, even thing, it has become something like natural things. When you say Sai, it is natural, it is not a miracle.
Yes.
Because he is miraculous. That distinction, what Kasturiji gave me.
Yeah. And in fact, Bhagwan has directly mentioned,
yes,
this is my nature, love
That's
is
right.
my nature. I mean,
That's
these
right.
things, my greatest miracle, Swami said, is love.
That's
is
right.
what is
That's
miracle.
Right. That's right.
These
and so many, I usually when I take classes for the youth, I tell the elders, don't tell the youth straightforward that he is an avatar or God.
Yes.
First let us study Satya Sai Baba as a human being.
Yes.
His human characters, so many instances in his life.
Absolutely.
Where he has demonstrated how a human being should be. I said, today you take out all the old videos. How Swami comes, not surrounded by anybody. He comes alone, he comes, goes alone. He doesn't walk, he glides. And then he is not influenced by anybody, not even his family members. He takes his decisions.
The courage.
Courage, conviction. He pours out love. See, let the youngsters study the life of Baba as a human being. I said we have to pass through what Howard Murphy has written. Man of miracle, man first. Then only the avatar. Then invitation to glory.
Yes.
Okay, you tell the youth that Baba is an avatar, you believe in him. Today's youth won't.
Yes.
But you say Swami certain instances in his childhood.
Yes.
As a human being, what qualities he showed for us to learn. And I always say that we people escape not doing things by saying that, oh, Baba is an avatar, he can do all those things. We are ordinary human beings, we can't do it. But you take him at the human level, how he has demonstrated that unconditional universal love and conviction can make miracles in the human form he has shown.
Exactly.
Let us emulate that and not escape by saying that he is God, he can do this, he can't do.
Yes.
That's wrong.
That is the whole purpose why he came down as avatar.
That's right. That is my philosophy. He said, don't say that he is God and he can do, we can't do like this. Do it in a simpler way.
Yes.
Do it in a simpler way. He has shown the way. Do it in a simpler way.
And for you, you have this live example. See, this Institute of Primary Healthcare is your live example.
That's
of
right.
That.
Many people ask me, you have big plans. I said, these are plans, not big plans. If Swami wills it will come. Don't have any doubts about it. Only thing is you have to give your life and soul to it. And
yes.
Don't.
In fact, what comes to mind is what Swami Vivekananda once said. He said that a pure will is omnipotent.
That's right. That's right, exactly.
As you also mentioned, like if you have a genuine feeling of doing something for others, if you have a genuine sense of empathy and you really want to positively contribute selflessly,
that's right.
The whole universe comes together.
Definitely.
To help you towards that.
Only thing is that no selfishness, even recognition is selfishness.
Yes.
You think that I should be recognized for all doing all these things. That is selfishness. Recognition is given by him.
Yes.
Not by the ordinary mortal beings.
And that is what is important.
Yes.
If he recognizes, that is important.
That's important. That's okay. That's how we become big people. Ordinary people become big people.
Yes.
And I always see one my favorite character is Hanuman.
Yes. I think every devotee who wants to serve the Lord, he is the ideal.
I am his servant. He didn't say that I am Hanuman. He said,
yes.
I am his servant. So, DYFI people ask me, we have an entire force of 10,000 volunteers. We will give them to you.
This DYFI?
This Democratic Youth Federation of India.
Okay. This is a Marxist.
Yeah, that's right. You come, join us and do this work. I said, I can do the work, but in his name.
Because you don't exist without him.
That's right. I don't exist without that name. Later what happened with it, that very same people joined us. So, DYFI and Satya Sai Organization together did many medical camps.
Fantastic.
Because they realized that we are the only people who don't want any name for doing a camp. Said, Swami has taught us, you serve the people. Do it. That's all.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard part one of our Tryst with Divinity interview with Dr. Anand Mohan of Kerala. Dr. Anand Mohan was in conversation with Radio Sai's Mr. Bishop Rushdie. You can catch part two of this conversation right here. Same time, same place next week. Meanwhile, we look forward to your feedback to today's episode. You can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. And now it's nearly time for me to play the seventh and the final part of our Fleeting Moments interview with Swami's student, Mr. Vijay Sai of Bangalore. He again is once again in conversation with Radio Sai's brother Bishop Rushdie, and we realize that you've really been enjoying this series. So although it was paused for a while due to a lot of scheduling conflicts, I'm very pleased to finally bring it to you. I hope you will enjoy it.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions, and today we have the continuing series with Mr. B.S. Vijayasai. He is not only a former student but also had the opportunity of being a faculty member in the Department of English in the Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for 5 years. And apart from being a student and being blessed to be a teacher, he had the priceless opportunity of also serving Bhagwan at very close quarters for many years. Being a talented singer, orator, dramatist, he had plenty of opportunities of interaction with Bhagwan, living with Bhagwan, seeing Bhagwan, the side of Bhagwan that he has seen, probably very few have seen, and also understanding various facets of Bhagwan's life, understanding his message at a very deeper level after having lived with him at such close proximity. We have had many hours of conversations with him, and today is August 4th, 2014. We continue with this series because every time we finish 2 hours of conversation, we just realize that we have still unearthed, scratched the surface. And today, I am so grateful to Bhagwan that we are having this conversation once again. This is probably the fourth time or fifth time that we are meeting again in Radio Sai, and it's completely His grace that we are able to sit and have this lovely satsang and discuss about those moments which truly were passing moments but which have lasting lessons for all of us now and for generations to come. And before I move on, let me just give you that brief introduction. He joined in 1987 the Vrindavan campus for his bachelor's in sciences, and then he moved on to do his master's in arts, majoring in English, which he completed in 1993. And after that, as I mentioned, he joined the faculty in the Department of English in Vrindavan campus. And after that, by divine design, he moved out of the campus and he started to work in the area of human resource development, and he gained very valuable experience in this field, which led him eventually to start his own company called Call Ready Solutions, which is into corporate training in HR, in leadership, conflict management, stress management, group dynamics, and so on. While he's doing all this, he's also gained enormous proficiency in many other areas, especially related to alternate healing like hypnotherapy, regression therapy, psychotherapy, aura photography, pranic healing, energy healing, and so on, plethora of these disciplines, where he's using all that Bhagwan had gifted him in terms of talent, in terms of insights, and in terms of intuition in trying to help people lead better lives, more fulfilled lives. And all as a student, he was a multifaceted personality, and he continues to be a multifaceted personality and using the different gifts of Bhagwan in trying to spread all that is good, spread that goodness that Bhagwan imbibed in him in making other lives better in many ways. So it's really a very heartening feeling for me to be sitting opposite him and continuing this beautiful series, recounting those beautiful moments that he has had with Bhagwan. And sir, I don't know how to be grateful to Swami to begin. Thank you so much for making it possible to drive all the way down from Bangalore and come once again for this session in Radio Sai.
Thank you, Bishop. I must thank you because you're giving me an opportunity to recollect all these pleasant golden memories and moments which I have many times not shared with anyone, because most of them are the human side of Swami. Because Swami had said, I separate myself from myself to love myself.
Yes.
And when he separated himself from to love myself, the way he expresses love,
yes,
through various facets, the various roles he played.
Yes.
When Swami used to tell us many times that the essence of Bhagavad Gita is kshetre kshetre dharmam kuru. Do your duty in various roles that you have to do. And mama dharma. The first sloka starts with dharma kshetre. The whole sloka ends with dhruva nitir matir mama. So mama dharma. Mama dharma is not my dharma. It is my role in that particular situation, my role, that particular which I need to play well. And Swami, you know, was the chancellor, was the diplomat, was our master, was our guru, was our God, was also, he has played multiple facets for us.
Yes.
And each of these facets were so loving. It's like when you actually read the Bhagavatam, and I feel, yeah, I think if you call Krishna a Purna Avatar, I don't know what to call Swami. Because you know, talk of the rasas, 16 rasas, and Swami is
everything
you have in Swami.
Amazing. And because you had the chance to be with him and serve him at very close distance, so probably you had a very beautiful view of all these facets of Bhagwan.
Yes, I really had a ringside view of all this. I also experienced it.
Yes.
And all along, one thing I need to tell you, Bishu, is that when Swami plays these roles, when God on earth plays these roles, if you don't know in the depth of your heart that is God, you'll be completely enveloped by the Maya.
You can get confused.
You know, this is Swami's love. He's, how can he express his love?
And if he doesn't sort of mask his divinity, then, you know, we will not be able to do the things that...
We worship him, put him on a pedestal, and worship him. And Swami also said,
he has no reason to talk to us, he knows everything.
Correct. He had no reason to talk to us. I think that's why Swami once said that, I read it somewhere, that if I had come with Shankar Chakra Gada Padma, with my the conch and with the, they said, put me in a museum and charge me for a seeing me, take a ticket for that.
Yes.
And therefore I've come in human form to have a human relationship with you, and I have descended down to your level.
Yes.
To make you ascend.
Yes.
I always remember the title of one of the English things that it is, like the thing of, she stoops to conquer. It's like that, he has stooped down to our level.
Yes.
To help us conquer ourselves and raise
yes.
us up.
Yes, wow, amazing. So, where do we begin? Because you have so many beautiful moments, and you have seen, as you mentioned, Bhagwan playing so many roles. So you probably would have seen Bhagwan as a divine musician. You would have seen Bhagwan as a divine administrator. You would have seen Bhagwan as a great parent. You would have seen Bhagwan as a great father. So begin, sir, from where you want to begin.
I think I should not forget that all of us try to get into something or the other with Swami, whether it's a Vedam chanting or bhajan or band, just to get closer to him. It's
yes.
just that is what drives.
Use that medium.
Yeah, all these are medium to get closer to him. So the medium with which I got close to him was bhajan and music.
Yes.
So I'd like to tell that particular role because
sure.
of the all of you know that Swami used to correct and sing and he was the Samagana Priya. The music was his favorite, and we should reach out to him through the music. So some of the things I remember is that Swami used to like this particular song of mine which I used to sing, which I started singing in 1990 summer course. That is, E Radhe Jeeva Kunidadit Ega Ninnalli Vandayitu. This Radha's heart is dancing, it became one with yours. Kanniru Hogi Panniru Bantu. And Swami liked this line so many times. He asked me again, tell that line again. And he explained it to everyone in the room. See, he's singing, Kanniru Hogi Panniru Bantu. Then he asked somebody, Uska meaning kya? It means, I had the tears going off and I had rose water. And Swami said, you know, what's the meaning of that? That is the toyam. That is the Ananda Bhashpam. And that Ananda Bhashpam comes only with union with God.
Tears of joy.
Because Swami himself had said that when he talks of, he went on from there in the particular discourse to talk about what he had said in the Gita, Patram, Pushpam, Phalam, Toyam. And he said it is Deha Patram, it is the Mano Phalam, Hrudaya Pushpam. Deha Patram is the leaf of your
what
body.
What you need to offer to God is not the regular fruit and flower.
And then he said it is Ananda Bhashpam, we connected there.
The water that would offer is these tears of ecstasy.
And Swami also sang the song that particular day, we're connecting it to this. That is, he'll sing that very beautifully. And that is what he said is what Meera has sung. Chalo Mana Ganga Yamuna Tir. And Swami pointed out, Ganga is one eye, Yamuna is one eye. Ganga Yamuna Nirmal Pani Sheetal Hota Sharir. Swami sang this so beautifully. I still remember 2-3 times he sang this.
Yes.
And this particular context, when he made me sing this song, Kanniru Hogi Panniru Bantu, Swami sang that line, explained, and Swami takes care that even people who do not know the language should understand the meaning. Because many times in a song, I'm not talking of bhajans, when you think of a devotional song, it is not just meaning. The words also have that role, right?
Yes.
Is that which you, the lyrics are the ones that gives the particular bhavam.
Yes.
And Swami made it a point to explain to the particular Hindu devotee what's the meaning of kanniru, panniru. This is what it is.
Mm.
This is one occasion which I remember. Then on another occasion, this was 91 or 92, Guru Purnima. And I started scoring for songs, scoring and cassettes and CDs. Didn't find anything. Everything had already been sung. And people wanted me to sing a Kannada song. So I composed one. So next day, I had not expected the song. Swami suddenly called. Nu impartau, he said.
What will you sing?
What will you sing? Said, Swami, this particular song is there. So the one line was that, it was one line in the middle. Mata pita bandhu saka yellavu neene needu nanage nimma bhaya aashwasane. Swami said, sing that again. And I sang it. Then Swami continued. Swami sang, see, this is ending on a high note. Next again is coming, Sadguru Sri Sai Ninage Vandane. It's coming there, right? So, it's coming low. So what it is? Sing it again. He said, I sang, Aashwasani. And Swami very beautiful said, Eh, Aashwasani. Sing that again.
Oh.
And I sang.
Oh, he taught you.
He taught.
Wow.
So if you sing like that, it'll sound beautiful. Amazing. Otherwise, if you go there and stop there and somebody sing here, it'll not look good. So sing that again. I remember Swami singing these lines exactly. I'd recorded it on a tape that time.
Amazing.
Beautiful. This one I remember.
Fantastic.
Then I also remember 1990, I think it is Brother Ravi Teja who was there. How Swami directed over the flute. That was the first time when I saw Swami directing things such a close quarters. First or second time. So what had happened is we were all in the auditorium green room and Swami had come there and Swami said we had also called P. Sushila and Anjali Devi also had come.
Legendary
singers and actors. And Swami said, see, they have come. What song are you going to sing? And he wanted us to sing good songs in their presence. And this time we showed a few songs. Brother Ravi Kumar was the time showing the Devavan song, which is in Hamsadhani. And after he sang that song, then Swami said, Ippudu flute vahinchala. He's a director.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ravi Teja started playing.
Now you should start playing.
Now you should start playing the flute. He started playing the flute slow. Then Swami, no, see. Should go on the top, stand there, and then come out. Play, let me see. So then Ravi Teja, amazingly, he plays the flute, he's gifted.
Mm.
And he played exactly like that. Then Swami told him, wait, now come down. And, no, he was signaling him. And then he came down.
Wow.
At close quarters, you can see Swami doing all this.
Swami as a music director.
As a music director. My seniors have told me, I have not seen this, but my seniors have told me that one particular day, this is what I heard from Brother S. Kumar and V. Kumar. Swami suddenly called, I believe, Swami suddenly called S. Kumar and said, today is New Year Day and which song are you going to sing? And he said, I made a song for you. And the song was, Indre Shubhadinami, ha 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 ha, Indre Shubhadinami.
Swami taught this.
Wow. And what happened is, Swami composed this today, he says, see, in all languages, Aji Shubhadina hai, Indre Shubhadinave, in every
language. Different languages.
Every language is sing. And then they were all singing, ha ha ha. No, not that, you should be happy. Swami actually taught them to sing, ha 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 ha. Because how I came to know what this is,
wow.
We were recording this song for the 85th birthday volume, and then all these people insisted, no, Swami had said sing, ha, so don't change it.
Mm-hmm.
Sing that. It should come. Ha, 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 ha.
Happiness should
happiness be obvious. And that's the way Swami is to get into that minutest details about music. And it's not only about Indian music. During Christmas carols, I once remember that Swami asked, come, he called Silas sir and asked, so kya karta? And he said, okay, which song? Sing and show. And we were singing and showing. And then Swami said, see, you must start here. And then you must continue the same thing, overlap. And you must continue with overlap. He showed the overlap in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we wish you a Merry Christmas when the overlapping happens.
Yes.
The counters.
We wish you.
And Swami said, nice. What you should do is, see, this little boys, their voice will sound different. And you big boys, voice sound different. It should come from three different. You've seen foreigners, Swami said. How nicely they sing. Sing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami, so directed even those carols, how exactly they have to be sung?
With the counters and all that.
With the counters and all that.
Wow. I mean, you really do not know that, you know, Swami is taking so much pains to teach us how to sing carols. Yeah. Western music, you know, people probably, no one has clue what pain Swami has gone to explain to us how Christmas carols should be sung, how a bhajan should be sung, how a song should be, going to the nitty gritty of every song.
Correct. And even in bhajans, Swami used to be very particular that the bhajan should be simple, the bhajan should be sweet, and don't drag bhajans, and don't use too many Hindi words, because it's not that you don't get the bhavam, but only few people can understand that.
Many may not be able to understand it.
If it's mere namavali, everyone will be able to relate to it, and everyone will be able to clap and sing. And Swami was, and many times all of us used to, many people would try some new bhajans or which has a lot of Hindi words. Swami would just stop the bhajan after first speed. It's a lesson not to sing that bhajan again. Some slow bhajans.
You should sing only what people can understand.
What people can understand, what people can relate to, what would give them joy. Because Swami said, this is also a kind of your seva. If you sing and give joy to people, that's a kind of seva.
Yes.
And the kind of...
I've
heard this from Swami. And the kind of discipline that Swami expected from us was very rigorous at times. Because we used to at times signal, do that, do this, and tell which bhajan and which shruti,
movement. During bhajan.
Swami just didn't like that. I have been personally blasted many times, being blasted by Swami. And finally Swami made it a rule that, because you know, I couldn't squat properly. I used to sit in a different way, and Swami caught sit that way, and I used to be a little uncomfortable and keep moving my legs. And whenever I used to pass the mics, Swami saw that I was passing who's next and passing it. And Swami called one of the senior elders, I think it's the warden sir, and Narasimurthy Garu, and sent a word with him telling him not to do so much of disturbance in this one. Let him learn to sit quiet. He does that, he does this, and all those things. So that during that morning bhajans, those times I used to play harmonium too at times. Then Swami was very up, because that particular day I had not prepared for it in advance. You know, I had taken for granted when I was asking what is the next song. You know, and on the spot trying to find the songs in Shruti and do it. And Swami was very upset. Then he said, let him not play harmonium.
Oh,
he stopped me from playing harmonium for a while. So Swami has been a tough master too, when it comes to all this.
When it comes to really bhajan session, there should be absolutely no movement, nothing which can distract anyone.
Yes. Including, I have been blasted for, when I was sitting in front of Swami, the discipline was expected was, you know, we had the ladies' side and the gents' side. And we are supposed to be facing Swami and sitting and be very serious. And that particular day, I looked at Swami and I was very happy. I looked at him and I was sitting a little bit of an angle where I was facing, my body was facing the lady's side a little, a little angle, and I was, all because there was no place, and I smiled at Swami, and Swami sent word through Sri Chandra without telling that, ask him not to smile at girls. The lady's side, he should always look this side. It's set an example, and he should not look, so you should, Swami said, I know, later on, that he may not be looking. The question was, I may not be looking there, but still, Swami wants the perception also to be very clear.
We should not only be good, we should appear to be good.
Not only be good, you should show others that you're good.
Yes.
And you can't distract others smiling and doing that. You got to be very careful about what you do. And even many times, people have been pulled up for not following the bhajan.
Okay, not following the
lead singer. Not following the lead singer.
You can't just sing your bhajan and say, okay, I'm done.
No. Many people think I'm singing in my mind and keep... No, you have to sing loudly.
Bhajan is for everyone to participate. Yes.
No, more than participate. When you sing loudly and clap, the vibrations in the entire room and surroundings change.
Yes.
And vibrations change even inside us.
Absolutely.
That's what Swami wanted us to experience.
Wow. You must have had many occasions like this when Bhagwan would have corrected you during bhajan sessions, or Bhagwan would have liked a particular bhajan or not liked a particular bhajan.
Yeah. See, what I've realized is, finally, although Bhagwan is bhava-priya, Bhagwan is to like good bhajans also sung with bhava and raga and tala.
Yes.
Even if one of it is missing, Swami would not like the bhajan.
Yes. You can't just say that, okay, I'll sing it out of bhava feeling, but you might go wrong with the raga.
There are many bhajans like Yuga Yuga Avatara and those bhajans which have sung, and Swami has got upset and told me, stopped it halfway and told, why are you singing such bhajans? Don't sing such bhajans. And I still love this particular bhajan, and Swami also enjoy it. Mm-hmm. This one bhajan which I remember is, we just to purposely wait for the rains to come and then sing.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody had told me this is some Miyaki Mallar or Meg Mallar, and I did not know what raga. But that's when, and that is when Swami used to walk in darshan and it would rain, and there would be the dew, the drops of it in the hair and also in the robe. And that's Ghana Ghana Neela Vadanati Sundara, which is originally composed by Kalyan. So they're seeing that, and Swami used to be, Swami used to be very happy with that particular bhajan.
I mean, it is so much resonating with the environment and the ambience. There's rain and so Bhagwan is as fresh.
Really.
The earth is so fresh with the rain.
Correct.
Yes, amazing. And moving on, apart from seeing Bhagwan as the divine musician, as you mentioned, can I ask you to now move on and share what you have seen of him in many other roles?
Many other roles. Okay. There's so many roles that Swami has played. One that's coming to the top of my mind is Swami's diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
How he showed us how to be diplomatic. Swami says that he walked the talk when he said, Satyam bruyat, tell the truth. Priyam bruyat, tell the pleasant truth. Na bruyat satyam apriyam. Don't tell the truth that is unpleasant. And so some seniors have narrated this to me, and it's narrated in front of Swami itself. So on the way to Kodaikanal, I believe there was a devotee who, Swami, there are lots of devotees on the way, and those days there was no pilot car and nothing. Swami's car would be just there, and the bus would keep following Swami's car, and there were scores of devotees standing on the line and in a line waiting for Swami's darshan. And Swami, with many times when there are many people and children, Swami used to stop the car, give bananas, give apples from his car, and he would keep them all in, handy, and he would keep giving them and keep going. So in one particular, you know, Swami loves discipline. In one particular town, a little beyond, I think it was a little beyond the way to Kodaikanal, before Madurai, somewhere in Karura, one of those towns, I don't know the place exactly, people were sitting in a very disciplined way, I believe. And there was just the senior devotee who came and waited in front of Swami and showed Swami, they're all singing bhajans and waiting for you. There was a pendal erected, there was a stage erected, only for Swami, and all there was more than 300 to 400 devotees sitting there. And Swami is moved by all this. So he stopped the car. And the moment he stopped the car, Swami led him, he led Swami onto the stage, and Swami sat there on the throne, and he continued, he started off his speech in Tamil, and he continued his speech so much, and so
that
much,
devotee,
that devotee started speaking, he never stopped. And there was hot sun on all the devotees. Only the pendal, which with Swami and the speaker, had the shade, and Swami saw that this hot sun of summer, you know, we go to Kodai in April, right? On all of them, Swami is trying to signal this person, stop, bus, but he never stopped. He continued. And he was exuberant, he was overjoyed. He was genuinely speaking from the bottom of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami saw this predicament, and Swami immediately, I believe, waved his hand and created a huge sugar candy and called him and patted him and put it in his mouth.
Oh my God.
And then he got up and said, do aarti, to somebody else. And then he told him not to chew it, and it was in his mouth. He took the aarti and went off. And later on, Swami told, you know what I did? See, he had such devotion. I did not want to hurt him. Because I did not want to hurt him.
If he tells to stop, you know, stop speaking,
he will feel hurt. But devotees are suffering. So I wanted to see that he also is happy, devotees are also happy. And you are all waiting for me, I also need to come. Then reach Kodai before
that.
So Swami very nicely created the sugar candy and put it in his mouth. He must have thought he
silenced his mouth but filled his heart.
Filled his heart. I think three birds with one stone.
Amazing. Only Swami can do this.
Only Swami can. And as I tell you this, there are so many other humorous things. Talking about closeness, I don't know whether I mentioned this before, Prasthi. This is what I too felt. When I did not have the physical proximity, all I longed for was the physical proximity. Swami, I want to get physically close to you. I want to get physically close to you. Because I thought that is the ultimate. Finally, when I got the ultimate, when I was with Swami physically and doing path seva, many times my mind would be somewhere else. Being there, I confess. At that point in time, I realized, oh my God, I wanted this all along. I have the, you know, that what they say, Brahma Kadigina Padamu. I have that, the particular feet which wash my brother, in my hand. I'm doing path seva. But what this monkey mind is, it's going away somewhere. Swami, I really want to get spiritually close to you. I got to feel you inside me. That new prayer started only after I got physically close to him, because I thought that's ultimate. Then I realized that's not the end of the journey. That is just the beginning, actually.
Yes. Ultimately, you have to go within.
You have to go within.
Amazing.
And again, of talking of humor, it's not directly about humor. But how the Antaryami Swami knows everything, but it'll still put you to the test. Swami always tells, your test is my taste. And he was that. So it so happened that, you know, I don't know whether you relate with me, ended up taking Swami for granted many times because of the physical proximity that he had given. It was those occasions where Swami used to speak, I think it was summer course, something regularly on Sai Rameshwar, and I was inside. And I used to be there when Swami comes down from the steps of Trai Vrindavan, be there, and Swami would enter the stage. And I used to be in the audiovisual room listening to the
backstage.
And go. So one particular day, when Swami's speech had started, and I was supposed to do something else, and I had moved away from the place, so I had not listened to Swami's speech. So, but when the aarti bell rang, I came back there, waiting for
just in time.
So as Swami was walking by, we had Sri V.K. Narasimhan walking there, and I was also here, and I looked at Swami. And I was smiling at Swami. Suddenly Swami turned to me and, how was my speech? He asked me.
Oh my God, and you have not heard a word.
I thought, I've been caught, Vijay, you've been caught. And I said, Swami, it was nice. And mentally I'm talking to him, Swami, sorry, next time I won't do it, please spare me. But Swami did not spare me. Next question. What did you like in my speech?
Oh my God.
I started walking. I said, again mentally I was thinking, Swami, please, Swami, enough of the test. I agree it's my fault, Swami. Please, Swami. Please, Swami. And I was walking by. I looked at Sri Narasimhan Garu as if the question was for him. Sir, he said, Swami, at the aims, Swami, I liked the particular point. I took the leaf from there. I thought, Swami, yeah, so that was very nice, Swami. But the look in Swami's eyes, I realized Swami looked at me and said, Dunnapota. And it was not the Dunnapota, loving Dunnapota. It was, I have caught you.
I know it.
And I just mentally prayed, okay, Swami, I know it, you know it, we know it. It's our secret. Next time I want to, please forgive me. I know not what I do.
Amazing. I mean, he's the human Swami, but every now and then you do that.
Every now and then you do that.
So that you know with whom you're dealing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And every time it shakes you.
No, it brings me back to the reality to understand that I'm living with God.
Yes.
Every time when the Maya starts taking over and suddenly you start doing in what Swami used to call as adhika prasangamu. You're going beyond a limit in terms of even the human relationship. And Swami would put an end to it by suddenly revealing his divinity. This is what a brother, one of my senior brothers shared with me when I had come here. The senior brother was Brother Rupak Chankuti, who was with Swami. So he's saying that suddenly the particular occasion, I believe Swami materialized that. Swami asked him to take that Polaroid snap of Swami. There was 70s, I think, when Mrs. Ratan Lal and all were there. In the front, Swami said, don't touch me, all of you be away.
Yes.
And the Dattatreya photo had come.
Yeah.
And Swami said, if you had touched me, the power which I used to do, you would have all been burnt. That's the reason I told step away, don't touch me.
At that time, the kind of power that
was emanating from Swami. So, these are moments where suddenly God decides, enough is enough. I got to show them back my divinity, these people will get lost.
Yes.
Will be carried away. And suddenly reveals this moment of truth. And these are little things that made us understand, oh yeah.
Yes.
Swami knows. And I am here. And I am lucky to be with Swami.
Yes.
Although we call him Swami, he is a divine Lord.
Yes. And he did so many sweet things also for us, like so that we always, even though we know that he's God, we can relate to him at a very personal level. We can relate to him as someone of our own.
Really, that's one thing that Swami really did. And in that, I think he is even sweeter than Krishna in the way he related to each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
See, the way Swami has made us feel is that you ask every devotee whether the devotee had a physical interaction with Swami or not. Each devotee felt Swami belonged to him or her.
Yes.
And the person belonged to Swami. That's the uniqueness of this avatar.
Absolutely.
There are millions of devotees. Each devotee had a unique, personal, heart-to-heart relationship. Swami say heart-to-heart.
Yes.
That heart-to-heart relationship was so unique.
Hmm.
And each person felt, Swami made that, created that maya, that Swami is only mine.
Yes.
And I belong to Swami.
Every person can feel that way.
So it was almost like relating to what Krishna did in Dwapara Age when he says, when those Gopikas were dancing.
Rasa Krida.
He multiplied himself so that he was with each Gopika.
Absolutely.
In the same way.
Same way.
Our Swami is so sweet that for each of us, we have our Swami. Mm. Our own Swami. Yes. Our own personal Swami. Just like that.
Can you narrate some instances when you really felt like that with Swami? It's my Swami. You want to do something for Swami, or you did something and you felt so happy, it is my Swami.
I used to do this regularly. I used to feel Swami looks so beautiful, and I actually wanted to remove his drishti, so I used to keep the chili and mustard seed and salt and take it to remove Swami's drishti. Swami said, what is this? You got mad. And all I used to say earlier, I said, Swami, I have to remove your drishti. And when
basically it's a tradition, right?
A tradition where to ward off the evil eye.
Okay.
Ward off the evil eye.
Hmm.
And it should be done anti-clockwise. And I had learned the particular thing. I had seen Mrs. Atalal doing it. I used to do it so many times anti-clockwise, so many times some particular pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to do it to Swami bending down fully. And Swami used to accept it.
Wow.
And that is one thing which I cherish, because I used to really do it from the bottom of my heart, telling Swami, be safe, kind of.
Now, as I think about it, it's not as if anything can ever affect Swami, but I think with the genuine feeling with which you used to do it.
But the genuine feeling Swami helped us create because of that.
Really?
He allowed us to do it, not because he needed it. He allowed us to do it, it's also a chance.
Yes.
It's also a chance.
Wow.
And so one particular day when Swami was upset also, I had gone to, when Swami was very angry with me and upset with me, those were the days also when I had gone to do it, and I went to do it, and Swami said, Nidhishche, it's your evil eye only is coming on me, nobody else's eye is coming on me. At that point in time, I really felt so hurt. I was crying for a long time. Then only later on, other people said, see, you're so lucky. Swami is telling that to you at least. And Swami doesn't mean it.
Yeah.
And when Swami tells it, you at times really relate to it. You really feel, oh my God, what is it? I'm being touched. This is one thing I remember. One more occasion was, I'd gifted robes to Swami many times. And this particular robe, I purposely got it stitched little yellowish kind, you know, the pitambar thing is what it's like.
Hmm.
And Swami used to wear that robe. I used to really relate to Krishna, and I used to love Swami in that particular robe. And it was Krishna asked me, and I was telling, okay, Swami, I'm going to give this to you. And I had actually sent it.
Mm-hmm.
And because physically, if I go to give it, he'll say, near Bitko. And he would not take it. So I'd send it by post.
Okay.
That's for you, Swami. Please don't refuse it. Please don't give it back to me. I'd written all that. And Swami didn't even tell anything, and others said Swami took it inside. So that day when I left down, I was feeling, will Swami really wear my robe? There are so many devotees.
You wanted him to wear on Krishna's
I wanted him to wear on Krishna's to me.
Okay.
And there are so many devotees, and they are all so devoted, and they are all important also. Who am I after all? I have also sent one robe, and out of the thousands of robes that he has received, where will Swami wear? Was my own thought. In the heart I hoped Swami would wear it. There's a prayer.
Prayer.
But I did not want to feel bad. So I had to cushion myself thinking,
in case it doesn't happen.
He accepted it. No, it's more than enough for me. And the particular day Swami came out for darshan. And I thought, is this the one which I gave? The point is, all the robes look alike. You don't know. No, it can't be. Swami, I think somebody else would have given this to you, and why should I think that way? Fine, Swami's looking good, nice. But Swami made it a point of sitting in Sairamesh Hall, in the first block. Swami came to me and, Neechindirayini, he told me and went, this is the one you gifted me.
Wow, wow, what and a was, gift.
Oh my God, it was like, you know, acknowledgement, getting the acknowledgement. Wow. I was so happy. And I sang all the bhajans which I need to sing with Pitambara and everything. Carried away to ecstasy. And that evening, Swami so beautifully asked me, how was I looking this morning?
Oh.
I said, Swami, you're looking so beautiful, Swami. You're looking so beautiful, Swami. And that's why Swami should remove drishti for you, and you're so beautiful. And then Swami, when you talk too much, he feels embarrassed. Hey, no musko. Let's talk of something else. But it was Swami himself who asked me that, how was I looking in the morning?
Wow.
And these are those little sights of Swami where...
You know, he decided to give us that joy.
He just will give that joy.
That's all. Amazing. When you keep thinking about this human side of Swami and the divine side of Swami, you know, you had the chance to see both of them. Alternating.
Yes.
And perhaps, you know, living with Swami for so many years and seeing the facets of Swami juxtaposed. You know, now when you think about all those moments, you know, what are those strong reflections that come to you?
See, now when I look back, many times I wonder, how did I dare do all those things? And I also know that, I again repeat that again and again, that's my favorite quote of Swami, because that's what makes me understand, with man I'm a man, with woman I'm a woman, alone I'm God. See, if he had put himself on a pedestal, would have merely respected him and worshipped him, prayed to him, there would have been a wall, a boundary between us. If we could never had this kind of a bonding,
yes,
an anubandha, a prema bandham with him. And that's why he came down to our level to make us do all this. As I told you, when I was having his feet in my hand, many times I realized that, no, this is not what I need. I need him deeper.
Yes.
I need deeper. So if you ask me, what did I learn? I have to tell you what Swami told me once. Swami was talking about surrender first, and then he was talking about love. He talked about surrender. He said, see, when you go to a hotel and you look at, you go there and you like the curtains, you like the TV, you like everything. But when you check out, do you carry them all with you? No. Because just when Swami asked, what is surrender? I told Swami, giving everything to God is surrender. He said, what is there for you to give? When you go to a hotel, do you take it with you? You don't take it with you. But when you are there, you enjoy it. When you check out, you won't. So, that is surrender. That is believing and understanding from the bottom of your heart that everything belongs to him, nothing belongs to me.
So you can't say, you know, I surrender and I give everything.
Nothing. The feeling itself that I give everything is again ego. That everything is yours and I am here to enjoy what is yours. In the same context, Swami told me about two terms he used, asakti prema, virakti prema.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Swami, what does it mean? He said, don't have asakti prema towards others, your family members. Have virakti prema. That was in the context when he told me about how I said, how do I relate to people around me? I have family, I have what? So when he said, mata nasti, pita nasti, when he told all those, nobody is true except God. That time he said, you got to have only virakti prema. Love without attachment, not love with attachment. Love with attachment is asakti prema. Love without attachment is virakti prema. So you need to have virakti prema. Then I went one step ahead and asked Swami, So Swami, do you mean that this Virakti Prema, what about Virakti Prema, the love with attachment to the body, is what Swami said, love with attachment to the body of the divine. See, we had Krishna. So love with attachment to the body of the divine, is that also wrong, Swami?
Swami said, may not be attached to family members, but even the divine...
To the divine.
Divine body.
To the divine body, is it wrong? Swami said, initially it's okay. The Sakara is required for you to move to Nirakara. Sakara is the form, is required for you to move to the formless. But finally, you got to realize that He is inside you, the Antaryami. Because Swami said, see what happened to Gopikas. Gopikas had Asakti Prema, love with attachment. So when Krishna left, they were attached to the body. They loved Krishna, but they still attached to the body. They suffered. They were despondency. They were depressed. They were sad. But Radha, among the Gopikas, had Virakti Prema, love without attachment. So, she felt Krishna as a part of her heart. She felt He's the Antaryami. He's inside me. And so, she was elevated to the status of a goddess.
Wow.
And Gopikas had to be born again and again, because anything that comes as a human bonding will have to come again. You have to move from there beyond, is what Swami said.
And to develop Virakti Prema.
Virakti Prema. No, looking at it, Prasthi, when Swami was telling us all the time, body is a water bubble. What did all of us think? He's referring to only our body. We never once thought He was referring to His body also. So Swami has moved on to let us know that, yeah, body is a water bubble. Yes, it's a vehicle I use to shower love on you. But now, you got to move beyond it and have your bonding inside me. Inside yourself. You got to find me inside you. And without doing that, everything I've shared on you is a waste.
Yes.
That one-on-one bonding has to come within us. See, Swami has all the time told what? Divyatma Swarupalara, you are God. Prema Swarupalara, you are love. Forget it, we may not think we are God. But at least we can feel the God's love inside us. The love in our heart that we feel is God, and connect to Him within. That is the ultimate thing that each and every one of us can do, and it is very easy.
Yes. I remember in our student days when Bhagwan used to come to the hostel, He used to say that, tell yourself, I am not man. You know, first, tell I am not animal, I am man. I am not animal, I am man. Then say, I am not man, I am God. You have to keep saying,
correct.
I am not human, I am divine. I am not man, I am God.
Correct.
And I think that is, at that point in time, as a student, you know, you didn't really register the profundity of that. But now I think it's becoming more and more clear. I mean,
yes.
It's making some sense now.
Yeah, Prasthi, because I have listened to all the discourses all these years. I have studied them. I have read Satsai Speaks. I had all this. And now when I go out to learn about the various sciences you mentioned, and I've learned, and I realize Swami had actually spoken about everything. And there's nothing new that I'm learning. I'm only realizing that this also was taught by Swami. This also was taught by Swami. This also was taught by Swami. And taught with such simplicity, and these people are now complicating it.
Yes. Every discipline.
Every discipline, every practical spirituality, feeling the divinity within us, the Advaita that Swami has mentioned, in day-to-day basis, is to tell us that.
Whether you do psychotherapy, hypnotherapy, or whatever.
I'm talking of everything.
Everything. So, every day becomes a revelation, right?
Yeah, every day becomes a revelation, yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
And every moment that you have spent with Swami now acquires a new meaning.
Yeah, things have interwoven themselves now into my life. And I don't know what did I do in the past, or whether I was deserving to get all these things. Only I still keep praying to Him that, okay, at least now make me deserving of all the things that You have showered on me so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is true for every devotee. I mean, each devotee can relate to it. If you look at the blessings that He has blessed, if you count the blessings that Swami has showered on us, So every time we know...
You can't count the blessings of salvation. Actually, the showers of blessings. You can't count the drops, right? Yes. The showers of blessings.
Every second, you know that you are being blessed in so many ways.
Right.
And you can only pray that in some ways you feel His love and radiate His love.
Right.
Amazing. But before we end, sir, as we were talking about these reflections, since you had so many moments of divine interaction with Swami and also many interviews, were there any personal interviews, you know, when Bhagwan spent some time with your family? And if it is something that you can share with the world, certain moments which are very precious to you and to your family.
Like every Sai devotee's family, that Swami is called for interview and blessed. He's blessed our family too. He had called my parents and given them a golden Ganesha, a large one for doing Abhishekam and drinking the water for healing. Then for both my sisters, he had created the Mangala Sutra for the marriage and given that.
Beautiful.
For my cousin, there's a particular Krishna thing that he used to worship. A particular, because that was a Ishtadevata that he had. Swami created a Krishna locket for him and gave him.
Okay.
And these are the things that he has done. And in my first year degree, when I was thinking all the time, you know, I'm a little rough and tough, and I'd seen this embossed thing, say, or a stone thing, or Swami's thing in enamel being given to devotees as a ring or a locket, and all along I thought, oh Swami, I'm so rough and tough. If ever you give me something, don't give me anything like that, is what I'd thought.
You thought you might damage it.
I might damage it. Mm. Because I'd seen them defaced, I'd seen them broken, and I'd seen them feeling bad and sad after that. And so Swami, when my first degree, when he called me and asked, what do you want? I said, Swami, I want you. Then Swami waved his hand, that pointed at me, don't see and look at it, because I said, because I was mentally doing, I don't want that, Swami, I really want you. But Swami said, hey, picture it. So, see this? What is this? I opened my eyes and saw, what is this? And it was a ring with S-A-I, with completely silver. S-A-I. What is this? See? Sai. You asked for me, who am I? I am Sai. So I'm giving this to you.
Wow. So there's no stone, no enamel, nothing. And this can never get damaged.
This can never get damaged. So now it's only moved from my fingers because of my size now. And not fitting the little finger of my right hand.
I can see it. Amazing. Fantastic. And I think, and what a great reminder, S-A-I.
Yeah.
As someone said, I don't know if Bhagwan has said this, you know, S-A-I, see always inside.
See, thank you for telling me that. Because see always inside. Probably we have to look for him always inside, yeah. Not outside.
Yes, that inner net.
The inner net, inner view.
Inner view is what, that interview is what, you know, all the interviews that you've had,
yes.
It'll only help now to connect and develop that inner view now.
Right. Because when Swami was physically here, it was darshanam, papanashanam, sparshanam, karma vimochanam, sambhashanam, sankatanashanam. Means his darshan, his very presence, looking at him was enough, his talk, everything was more than enough. But now, in those days, darshan was meditation. You don't do any other meditation.
Yes.
Just look at his darshan, more than enough. There was enough sadhana. But now, Swami's physical body has moved on to let us know only meditation is his darshan. We need to look inward.
Amazing.
We need to connect to him all the time inward, feel him. Feel him with us, feel him in us, and follow the message that he taught us. He always said his life is his message. So now we got to make our life his message. And the only way we can do is that when Swami, the love that Swami showed, the way that, and following Swami's words.
Yes, absolutely. As someone said, the best way to value a master is to master his values.
Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. That is what we have to do.
I don't know whether we can master all the values, looking at all the things that Swami has said. Even if we can master one of those things that Swami has said, it's more than enough.
Yes.
For this lifetime.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir. It has been great as usual. Every session with you has been such an eye-opening experience and such a beautiful stroll down the memory lane. P
speaking of those precious jewels, and I know we'll never ever can say that we are done, but at least we have taken some effort by Swami's grace to document some of these and share with everyone, and I hope that this really helps devotees on their spiritual path. As it has helped you, it has helped me, and I'm sure it will help so many by His grace.
Yes, Prasada, the things I have spoken are of the other side of Swami.
Yes.
And related to us this way, to, as I said, He descended down to make us ascend.
Absolutely.
I think that we should always remember.
Yes.
And deep down, we must always understand, in spite of Him playing all these roles, He is the Supreme.
Yes. He is the ultimate ultimate.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much.
Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, that was the final part of this 7-part Fleeting Moments interview with Brother Vijay Sai of Bangalore. We hope you enjoyed it. We look forward to your feedback by email at listener@radiosai.org. And now it's time for me to bid you Sairam and wish you a Saisam awesome day ahead. Up next is Brother Raghu with Service Love in Action. Jai Sairam.
Devotion to Thee.